It's where I want to go today. I've wondered so many times how I went so long. Now that I'm a child of God, I wondered what kept me back and what hindered me. And why wouldn't I believe the things I'd heard since I was a child? And I've marveled at that many times. At a pulpit, since I was called to preach the truth of the gospel, at times feel the pulling, the draw of the Holy Ghost calling for sinners, and see them, see those who are affected, see those not by my words, but by the drawing power, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, just sit and hold and refuse to move. And wondered so many times about how it is that people refuse God. And so I would, if you will, if you'll turn to the book of Luke in chapter 13, it's this topic that I want to preach today. Why are they not able? I'll give you a moment to get there in Luke chapter 13. I'm aware customs are different everywhere you go. I'm not sure of your customs, if you do stand or don't stand. But I'm just going to ask you, if you would, to rise if you find your place in Luke chapter 13. And it'll give me an indication as well of about how many have found it. We'll only read two verses. Luke chapter 13, I'll read verses 23 and verse 24. And you've risen, so I believe you're there. We read here in verse 23, the scriptures say, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" Amen. "And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." You may be seated. "Shall not be able." Shall not be able. "Strive," he said. "Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able." And again, I've marveled at this. I've wondered at this. Seeing sinners sit on a pew or stand in the midst of an altar call, some to the point of trembling. Seen some come down to the altar and cry and pray and marveled at why are they not able? Why are they not able? And while I may not preach long, I want to get something to you. If you're a child of God, maybe this will help you. And if you're a sinner, I want to help you. There are reasons why sinners are unable to enter in at the straight gate. Now, I'm not going to speak to it from God's perspective and speak to election and calling and many other topics that we deal with at times, but I'm going to speak simply from the standpoint of a sinner. From the standpoint of a sinner who knows no doctrine, who knows no theology, why, from a sinner's perspective, are sinners not able to enter in at that gate? And the first thing I would tell you is they refuse the truth of the gate. See, this gate has some truths that simply by being there, it proclaims. A gate simply standing by itself proclaims some truth. The first thing is that it puts a separation or a difference between one side and the other. For a gate does not stand by itself, but it stands as part of a wall or a fence, and it stands there proclaiming that there is a difference between that side and this side. And where you are is different from the other side. And this truth is enough to cause some to refuse to go. This truth is enough. As a matter of fact, that was probably what stopped me the most when I was younger, and when I would hear the preaching of the Word of God, when I would feel the Spirit of God call unto me and tug at the roots of my heart. The thing that held me back the most was I knew the other side was different from the side I was at, and I just couldn't let go of where I was at. I still wanted to spend some more time in sin. It wasn't miserable enough for me yet. I still wanted what was on my side of the fence. And I saw the way the children of God lived, and in my mind, in my foolish mind, I thought, well, they don't have any fun. They don't have anything to live for. They just live dull and boring lives, and they just go to church and go home, and that's all they do. And I don't want to live that life. Yeah. And so I refused the truth of the gate. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, it is truth. There is a difference.
Amen.
God does make a difference. He said he made a difference between Egypt and Israel. Amen. There is a difference. Amen. The thing that people don't believe is it's better on this side, and it is. It's better on this side. But can I tell you, that's not the call of the gospel. It's not because it's better on this side that I would recommend you to be saved, but rather because it's the call and command of God Almighty, your Creator, who made you, to whom you are responsible. That's why I would tell you to enter in at the straight gate. It is different on this side. It's the truth. It will separate you from all of your acquaintances, because in order for one person to move from one side of the gate to the other, they have to leave the old behind and have to leave the people behind and have to move over to the other side. And so that means that there's a leaving of all the acquaintances. It means there's a leaving of all the relations. It's a leaving of all the habits. It's a leaving of all the things which once were beautiful to us, which once were what we sustained ourselves on. If you've ever moved cattle from one pasture to another through a gate, they have to leave what they were feeding on, and they have to go feed on the new pasture. And so there's a leaving of everything behind. There's a difference that's put by this gate, and that's the truth. And this truth has been refused. And it's one of the reasons why many stand and grip a pew until their knuckles are white. And why they come down to an altar and cannot let go. Because there's a difference in the life. The second thing I would tell you is there's a truth that's represented by this gate. And the truth is that you can pass. You can pass. If you couldn't, there would be no gate. There would be a wall. And there are many who have got it in their minds that they cannot be saved. That they are beyond the saving power of God Almighty. How foolish can you be to think that you're beyond God's power? The power which made the universe. The power which has saved so many millions before you. The power which has transformed lives. How foolish can you be to think you're beyond the power of God? But many have it in their minds, in their hearts, that they cannot be saved. But the gate stands as a testimony against that foolishness. It stands to represent the truth that you can pass. No man, no woman will ever stand before God on that day and say, God, you would not save me. You could not save me. I understand that there are things known to the counsel of God which we do not know. But not knowing, we should make no excuse to not make haste to take heed to the word of God and be saved. And the gate stands as a clear rebuttal against those who would proclaim that they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For yes, says the gate, you can. And if you're here today and you have not entered into that promised land, if you have not entered into the land of Beulah, if you have not entered into the heavenly kingdom, if you have not come the way of God, there's a gate which proclaims that you can be saved. There is a gate that stands and says, come this way and you can enter in. Amen. But yet, they've refused the truth of the gate, that it makes a difference. You know, there's a lot of people who say you can get to the other side and not be a bit different. They've refused that truth. They've refused the truth of passage through the gate. But there's something else too. They've refused the truth that you can enter in only at the gate. Only at the gate. You see, there's many who will look and see the gate and see the wall and say, that wall's not so high. I can climb that wall. I can scale over to the other side. I can go look for a broader gate. I can go down to the east or to the west and I can find another gate. I can find the end of the wall. I can find a way around. Maybe there's a back door into the kingdom of God, but the gate stands and proclaims the truth that only here will you enter in. And Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The day that I got saved, I didn't know how to get saved. Amen. But I know this much. I had to hear my master calling. And I had to go his way. His way. I had been under conviction for months. Months. Some of y'all think you had it hard because you had a rough night before you got saved. I was months under conviction. And struggling and trying to find my way. How many times have you heard people say they're trying to find their way to God? You won't do it. There is no your way. You can't go your way. There is no way that you can go except the way of the cross. You must go through the gate. And that's the truth. And as long as you're trying to find God, you'll never find him. He'll have to find you. You'll have to go in where everybody else goes in. I remind you, there was one door on the ark, one. And everything that got in the ark got in through the one door. And if you're going in, you're going to go in just like everybody went before you. You will not go a new way. You will not climb the walls. You cannot get to the other side. You cannot get to the kingdom of God except you go in through the straight gate. He said as much in Matthew chapter 7, during the Sermon on the Mount. And it seems like about every other sermon, I end up back on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord himself said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight gate. For wide is the gate. Amen. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. They just asked him, are there few that be saved? He said, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. That find it. Why are they not able? Why are they not able? Are you a sinner in here? Why are you not able? Have you refused the truth of the gate? I'm going to move on. There are those that refuse the terms of the gate. They've seen the gate. They believe it's the only way. They believe that they want to enter in. But now they're going to refuse the terms of the gate. I remind you as you read your Bible to look closely at what you read. We speak of a straight gate, and most people have in their minds that it's straight up and down and that it's a rectangle, so they think they know what straight means. And that word is S-T-R-A-I-T. It's not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. The word straight, as it's spelled and as it means right there, means tight and difficult. So much for easy believism.
Amen.
It's simple believism. It's not easy. Let me give you something here. When I was a younger man, and in all my foolishness, I and a lot of my friends would go out and for fun, we'd jump off the trees or off of bridges, off rocks out into the water. We went to Chimney Rock on Lake Martin, Alabama one time. And it stands, depending on the water level, between 55 and 70 feet off the water. I don't know where it was at night. We went at night because, you know, we were young. When you climb up to the edge of that rock, all you have to do is take one step. You can't be on top of the rock and in the water. You have to be one or the other. All you have to do is take one step out into nothing you know and trust that you're going to land where you're supposed to. That's all you have to do. But you know, some of my friends got all the way up there and would not take that step. And that's what I'm talking about. Why are they not able? Some people refuse the terms. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's a straight gate. Straight means that you can go through the gate, but you're not going to bring anything with you. It's too tight for that. You're not going to bring your friends with you. You're not going to bring your habits with you. That's what I said. And I know that people tell you, you ain't got to quit drinking, you ain't got to quit smoking, you ain't got to quit playing cards, you ain't got to quit dancing, you ain't got to quit nothing to get saved. Baloney. You'll quit everything God tells you to quit. Now, if he didn't tell you, I ain't telling you. But I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost told me a lot of things I had to lay down. And ain't but one God. And if you're going to go through that gate, you're going to lay it down. And you ain't going to lay it down on the other side. You'll lay it down on the side you're on. You lay it down before you get through. The terms of the gate are tight and difficult. That's why few there be that find it. Why are they not able? Refuse the truth. Refuse the terms. I've watched in my town three different women, know that they were sinners, convicted hard by the Spirit of God, make it all the way to an altar and cry. I watched one of them at an altar cry. I've heard of people crying a puddle of tears, and I saw it that night. A big puddle of tears. But she could not give up that man she was living with. Could not give up the man she was living with. And went back to her seat. And I knew when she went back, it was over. That was the first of three. I've seen three different women who could not give up a man they were living with. Two of them lost the man they were living with and lost their opportunity. I'll get more of that in a minute. All three of them are now without God, no desire to find God, no desire to go to the other side of the gate. They refuse the terms of the gate. Can I tell you something here? If you're lost, will you hear me? If the Holy Ghost tells you lay it down, he ain't playing a game and he's not going to negotiate. You better quit it. You better put it down or you'll be lost forever. Without God, he will not change his mind. And you'll never see the inside of the pearly gates of heaven if you will not go through that straight gate, if you will not go on the terms of the gospel. I know it's unpopular. This whole chapter's unpopular. This is the chapter that started off with Jesus saying, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must go on the terms of that straight gate. There is no other way. There is no negotiation. It's one of the reasons I struggled so long. I'd already been to that gate and would not let go. And for me, it was just simply to have power over my own life. I would have let go any habit I had. I would have let go any friend I had. But I did not want to let go of the control of my own life. I wanted to be in charge of me. And that was when I was 22. I got saved when I was 38. I thank God he called me back at all. He didn't have to. But I lost 15 years because I refused the terms of the gate. And you'll be fortunate if that's all you lose. Why are they not able? I refuse the truth at the gate. I refuse the terms of the gate. And now let's go ahead and stay with something that's, I know it's preached here, but it's not preached everywhere. They refuse the time of the gate. That gate's not always open. That gate's not always open. Look at the next verse from where we read. The next verse, verse 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door. Shut to the door. And you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then you'll begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence and sung out to singing at the local church and got on the platform, played the guitar, sung a special, was in the choir, told the preacher, amen. I did all of that. And that was taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There is a time. There is a time. And there is no other. Today is the day of salvation. Not Tuesday. Not Thursday. Not next Sunday. Today. Today. When is the only time a man can be saved? Today. Today. When the gates open, it's time to go through. When the gates open and your eyes see it and you know where you are and you know you need to leave where you are and you can feel the Spirit calling, that is the only time. I'll wait till I'm older, said many a person now in hell. I'll wait till I finish this last project at my job. I'll wait till I marry the woman I want to marry or the man I want to marry. I'll wait until after I've had my fun. I'll wait till after I graduate high school or until after I've raised my kids. I'll wait, said many a person now in hell. The time of the gate is just as real as the truth of the gate and the terms of the gate. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. If you don't go when you're called, you can't go at all. There was a man in the town, one of the towns in which I was raised. The year was 1957. It was the year my mother was born. I wasn't there, obviously. But he was a deacon in a church, and the Lord began to deal with him and tell him he wasn't saved. And Brother Cook is what everybody called him, even though he wasn't really a brother. Brother Cook went and found my grandfather and an uncle of mine, and they prayed with him at the house, but he couldn't seem to break through, couldn't get through to God. And he told him, he said, I can't tell everybody that I've been lost all these years. I can't tell everybody. I want to get saved, but I can't tell everybody. Well, they went to church that night. And the church service itself, I never heard anything described of it. There was an altar call at the end of it. But at the very end of the service, when it was dismissed, Brother Cook stood up and said, he's gone. He's gone. He went outside the church crying. The very thing he said he couldn't tell anybody, he told everybody, I'm lost, and he's gone from me. He's gone from me. He died within months, never got right with God. I'm trying to tell you this isn't a game. I'm trying to tell you this is serious. And you can't change the rules because of who you are. There is a gate. And it's straight, it's tight, it's uncomfortable. Yes. You won't like it. Amen.
Right.
Amen. How you like that one?
That's right.
You ain't going to like this process of getting born. You'll like it on the other side just fine. But there's labor in birth.
Yes.
Amen. There's travail in birth. I think every easy believism preacher that there is ought to stand in their pulpit and tell every woman that's had a child how easy it was for her. Birth is difficult. But if you can feel the Spirit of God call you, you must go when he calls on his terms. And you must believe the truth. How can you believe in Jesus Christ without believing the truth? So what's this striving? I know it's been short this morning, but I'm coming to the end. What's this striving? When he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. If God's ready to save, why must I strive? I'm telling you, it's not wrestling with God. The strife comes from your own flesh. The strife comes from your flesh that will lie to you and tell you there's another way. They'll tell you there's another time. Tell you there's terms that you can ask God and get acceptance now, and it's all lies. The striving comes against your own flesh and against the evil one who would whisper in your ear. The striving's not against God. God's on the other side. It's the Spirit of God who calls a sinner. strivings with our own selves. But if the gate's open, if the gate's open for you today, you can go in. It's the testimony of the truth. If the gate's open for you, you can go in. You must go on his terms. You must believe the truth, but you can go in. Brother Joel, as short as it is, I'm going to turn it over to you. I believe my portion is done, sir.
Well, bless the Lord for the good preach word. How's it with you? I mean, just with you. That's my question. How's it just with you? You got to deal with your own heart and what God's talking to you about. How is it just with you? Brother, if you'll just hold off playing right at the second right now, we'll go forward from there. How is it with you? Are you saved? Man of God, preach the truth to your heart. You know, I know some of you know you're not saved. You can't testify. You can't say you are. I appreciate honesty. But what you're going to do with what's been preached to your heart? And God's touching you this morning. I wouldn't put it off. I'd come pray. That's between you and God. But I'd come pray why God's a touching your heart. Been touching your heart. God's a dealing with your heart. And you need to pray. It's God's will for you to pray. You obey the Lord this morning. Some of you saved. You hadn't been living for him. And I know that sounds kind of contradictory. What I mean is you're not seeking him. You just got in a routine in your life. Preaching like this ain't as strong to you as it used to be. But this is what we need. And God knew it and we knew it. And somebody in here God's a talking to. There ain't no doubt in my heart. There's people in this church need to be born again. Saved by the grace of God. God's a touch your heart. Been touching your heart. And today's the day of salvation. Brother, if you just play something on the piano lightly, if you will. Let's bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer. Would you come? Would you come?